If you don't create a routine, you will be assigned one. If you don't create a purpose, you will be assigned one. If you don't create a career, you will be assigned one. People are too quick to adopt the structure that somebody else created to ease life's uncertainty. You need a routine. And if you think you don't, you may not realize that you have already been assigned one by society. Or your routine is not having a routine. Without rules, there is no game. Without a game, there is no winning. A routine contains the rules for how you live your life. The longer you play, the better you get. And as you're getting better, you often forget the rules and win anyways. Now is the time to stop playing the game society told you to play and start playing your own. A powerful routine, no matter how long, prevents overwhelm as you progress towards your goals. Most people are progressing towards goals that were given to them. They are progressing the dreams of someone else rather than their own. Without a routine that you created, your life will slowly fall, faster and faster, down a chaotic hole into a life of responsibilities, work, people, and a personality that you despise. Routines are comfortable, and the mind craves order. Routines allow you to focus your attention when conditioned and programmed over time to make action seamless. This is why working a job sucks, but not enough to make you quit and pursue something that sucks more until it sucks less. Life is suffering, and you have the ability to choose what you suffer for every single day. Your goals are the axis of your suffering, and most people are pursuing goals that aren't their own. Their suffering doesn't bring fulfillment. Here's a quote from Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. The optimal state of inner experience is one in which there is order in consciousness. This happens when psychic energy or attention is invested in realistic goals, and when skills match the opportunities for action. The pursuit of a goal brings order and awareness because a person must concentrate attention on the task at hand and momentarily forget everything else. So we need to talk about how to focus your attention to reverse psychic entropy or disorder in the mind, but we also have to understand how identity or personality comes into play here. You don't need motivation or discipline when you are the person who would take certain actions. A bodybuilder doesn't need motivation to eat healthy. A gamer doesn't need discipline to stare at a screen all day. A writer doesn't need motivation to synthesize ideas. An employee doesn't need discipline to show up to work. All of those could be perceived as positive or negative by a specific type of person. A gamer that stares at a screen all day, that could be considered very bad if you aren't actually in the pursuit of goals that you chose for yourself. And you have to understand, bringing back the idea that your goals are the axis of your suffering, where if you want to be, let's say, a professional gamer, there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to accept the potential decline in health that will come from that, and that is subtracting from other areas of your life so that you can succeed in another area of your life. The same thing goes for like a bodybuilder as the first example, where eating healthy isn't hard or they don't need motivation or discipline to do it, but it could subtract from other areas of their life, like having a social life, going out, letting loose a bit. Certain people value certain things based on their identity and where they focus their attention. So these people do what they do because their survival is at stake. And this isn't physical survival here, this is mental. Animals survive the information in their genetic code. Humans survive the information in their consciousness. Animals survive their physical form, and while we do that too, we've also transcended that plane into the mental plane thanks to self-reflective consciousness, and that meaning, self-reflective, meaning that we are aware of ourself, our idea, the mental form that we are attempting to survive, the web of ideas that creates our personality or identity that when threatened feels like a physical threat. And the information that we are fed as children that programs who we are, the things that we know, the known, not the unknown, what is familiar to us, what we're aware of for our survival. And for most people, this is limited to a microscopic fraction of reality that is go to school, get a job, retire at 65 in terms of choosing a career. For others, it's go to church every Sunday. But you get the point here. That's all you know. And so that's the tool for your survival. That's the knowledge that you're using to survive. It's the ideas. When one of those are threatened or questioned, then you can feel that threat response. Where if a bodybuilder that likes to eat healthy only has the option to eat unhealthy food, he's probably not going to be very happy. He's going to be very stressed. He's going to be out of routine. He's going to be in the unknown. He's going to be in the unfamiliar area of life, and he's going to have to deal with it however he can. So, back to the point, the information we are exposed to as children and throughout our lives programs our minds to run on certain systems. A system, in brief, is the process of reaching a goal. Obviously, this can get extremely complex, so let's just keep it to that. A system is the process of achieving a goal. So, our identity is a web of conscious and unconscious goals that determine the skills we acquire, the interests we learn, and the choices we make in alignment with those goals. When we are programming our mind, or programming the systems in our mind, the information roads that our mind operates on, they're all operating towards specific goals relating to survival and other things. And so we're just making decisions every day based on the information that we've collected and the systems that have formed in our minds over time. You are already acting toward layers of unconscious goals every second of the day. They've been conditioned to the point of not requiring conscious thought. You wake up, walk, brush your teeth, maybe, and put on your clothes so that you aren't seen as an outcast. These are all skills that you have developed as a human with the goal of fitting in and surviving in society. This goes deep. The social matrix of goals creates humans that all operate in a similar fashion. With a slightly different goal of society, we could all be walking around naked and communicating with each other by tapping people on the head with a stick. Biological goals clearly influence this. When we don't have clarity on how to achieve a goal, our mind becomes disordered. We become overwhelmed, anxious, and narrow-minded because the challenge of the goal does not match the skill that we have. Our mind starts to decline into chaos. This is known as entropy. Entropy is universal. It doesn't only apply to things like buildings that fall apart with time unless maintained. The structure of your mind or identity is an invisible building. You reverse entropy by making a goal conscious, creating a path to achieve it, and focusing your attention on priority actions that bring results as feedback. These priority actions revolve around daily self-education and practice so that you expose yourself to the information that creates a new identity with time. And then that new identity allows you to perceive certain situations as advantageous towards your conscious goals, and you start to see problems in situations as opportunities. So we'll talk about how to master new skills fast in a future video, but for now just understand this lesson. You need a plan. There isn't any other way. Because if you don't have one, society does, and they've been planning your life for decades. If you don't set your own goals, acquire the skill necessary to take on the challenge, and forge your own path, your destiny will be manhandled by society and you won't even realize it. Nobody wants to wake up 40 years later wondering where the time went. Now let's discuss the four pillars of the good life. This is how we reverse entropy. Or in simpler terms, this is how we reverse the downward spiral into chaos, overwhelm, anxiety when we don't have the clarity to achieve our goals. Becoming multidimensionally jacked is the path to the good life. I talk about this in the video on becoming multidimensionally jacked. You need four habits. One that builds your mind, one that builds your body, one that builds your business, one that builds your relationships. The good life is the process of becoming everything you could be. All of these domains of life are interconnected systems that create who you are and reverse entropy in the mind. Tiny improvements are what create an ordered mind. And so just to bring clarity to this, mind, body, business, relationships, that is what composes who you are. Those are the four main pillars that we have to peel back, improve, and evolve on a daily basis. Those are the main things that are within your control, and they're also the eternal markets in business. I talk about this in the one person business videos or any of my business videos, is that the eternal markets, health, wealth, relationships, and happiness, are where most burning problems lie. Those are the most profitable problems to solve. So if you can solve your own problems and sell the solution, that's how you do what you want for a living, by solving the problems that make your life better and selling them to make other people's lives better. That's a value exchange. You exchange the solution to a problem that makes someone else's life better in exchange for what you want, which is money. So by adopting a daily habit for each pillar of your life, success becomes inevitable. My question to you, if you aren't building your mind, body, business, and relationships every single day, what are you doing? Here's a genuine question. Is there anything more important than that? Or is everything you do now a distraction? But Dan, I want to enjoy myself and do what I want. Do you understand what enjoyment is when compared to pleasure? Do you realize that human psychology has been mapped over the course of evolution to show that humans have an innate drive to grow, expand, transcend, and create? Enjoyment is found in progress. Doing what you want is often the ego ending the train of thought that would lead to you improving yourself, because that's what your nature wants, is to improve yourself. You can truly do what you want when you peel back the layers of what you think you want. So I'm not going to give you a super scientific approach to habit formation. I'm just going to give you the only real way to make behavior change seamless with time. So the first step is to align your future with a holistic goal. For those that don't know what holistic means, it means all-encompassing, or you're viewing it from the whole of the situation rather than a part of the situation, big picture. So this requires you to zoom out and see beyond a narrow problem. Like if you're having money problems right now, that's not the only domain of your life that needs improvement. And as a matter of fact, money is interconnected to all other domains of your life. So solving your money problems may not actually happen until you choose to zoom out and change every single domain of your life. In other words, changing who you are on a fundamental level. Goals can't exist without the awareness of a problem. Goals and problems create a frame for your perspective. Your perspective determines what information you perceive as important. A person with money problems and the goals of society will see a new job opportunity as important. A person who has money problems and self-generated goals will see a business opportunity as important. Both people will read a book and interpret it in a completely different way. Whether it's the Bible or a self-help book or a fiction book or whatever it is, the problems and goals that are framing your current perspective are going to determine the information that you see as important within that book. You're going to highlight different quotes from someone else because it is going to be relevant and relatable to your situation. So if you're a writer or a creator or a one-person business or anything of that nature, a creator in general, who you are, then you have to understand that this comes into play when you're writing or distributing products or just giving things to other people and you want it to relate to them. You want them to perceive it as important. Is you have to understand the problems and goals that are on their mind so you can frame what it is that you're giving to them, writing, products, creations, whatever, videos, so that it does actually register in their awareness. This is marketing and sales as a whole, is just understanding the goals and problems of your target audience and providing clarity in between, or a solution, a product, a system, a how-to video, whatever it is. You help people transform. The first step to changing your life is to become brutally aware of the problems that make you want to change your life. If you're reading this, then you obviously have problems. Everybody does. The big problem is a lack of awareness of your problems. Sit and become negative for a while. Let your mind run wild to create an anti-vision for your future. What is the worst case scenario if you continue with the same mental, physical, financial, and relational actions you are taking? Then use that as a place to toss an anchor into the future. Create a big, vision-generating goal that encapsulates each domain of life. Next, we will bridge the gap between where you are and where you want to be with self-education and skill acquisition. So step number two after creating a holistic goal is to treat daily self-education as an absolute necessity. Schools are necessary in many cases, but they teach you a fraction of what actually exists in reality. They train you into a compartment of reality, like chemistry, physiology, or literature, and lack regard for the holistic interconnectedness that breeds true intelligence. Without self-education, you go through life with the same narrow identity and perspective as everyone else. You're not a unique individual if you never self-educate. You're the same as everyone else, being fed the same information from the social matrix of goals that are assigned to you to operate within society. Now, this social matrix isn't a bad thing. It creates an intellectual structure to anchor our attention so that we can actually survive here. But outside of that, what's more? Are you just surviving or are you creating? Education expands your mind. It introduces you to novel perspectives. It increases dopamine in the brain as a consistent source of energy. It gives you the knowledge to act with clarity towards your goals. Over time, education conditions your mind to run on new systems. If you were to only immerse your mind in information that taught you how to build a profitable business, you would. And if you sit back and think about how building a business is a skill just like anything else, and a skill comes from mental programming and practice, then you'd understand the truth in this, where programming your mind with specific information that eventually creates actions conducive to your goals over time, your goal being building a business, then you would actually do that thing. Self-education is where most people lack because they just skip it entirely. They don't have a section of their morning dedicated to reading or consuming or researching or pushing into the mental unknown so they can discover new perspectives to integrate into their own, to expand themselves. Because if you think of business building as a skill, just like learning to walk, walking is a very fucking difficult skill. It's hard. It takes children a long time to do, but they still do it, and now it's automatic to the point where you don't think about it. It's like a basketball player that has played for so long and has gone pro to the point where they're not even thinking about what they're doing. They're just playing and having fun in the game and do very well that way. And so if you get to the point where you've practiced and educated yourself on business, making money becomes seamless. And don't let your lack of knowledge hold you in a narrow mind right here. You can make as many judgments and assumptions and projections into a future you haven't experienced or understand right now, but that's not going to change the reality of what skill acquisition is and being able to train yourself to achieve any goal that you want. It took you 18 plus years to shape your actions with education from your parents, friends, and schools. It's going to take a few years to shape your actions with information that you curate. So, step number three, after setting a holistic goal and treating self-education as an absolute necessary practice, step number three is acquiring the skill set necessary to achieve those goals. The difference between where you are and where you want to be is skill. This is a fact. You don't have the results you want because you aren't the person with the skill that would get those results. The only thing that can stop you is getting distracted to the point of falling off the path. Skills can be trained. As I said before, learning to walk and speak are arguably the most complex skills you've ever learned. They are more complex than building a million-dollar company. The thing is, you didn't have a mind chained by limits that you were taught by people who didn't break through their own. With this, you need two things. One is a 30 to 60 minute self-education habit. Read, buy courses, listen to podcasts, and acquire ample knowledge that provides you the capability to act. Step two is a 30 to 60 minute building habit. Apply your knowledge in reality and experiment with what you learn. Get feedback and iterate until success. Learning comes from struggle, not memorization. When you build in the real world and you hit a wall, a problem is created. It's presented to you. You may or may not become aware of the problem depending on your skill and experience. This is what prevents most people's progress. They blame their lack of progress on anything but their own ability. The problem sits in your subconscious mind to filter the information you get from your self-education. As you repeat this process of education and building for 1 to 5 years, you will be awestruck by how far you've come. Now, let's talk about my daily routine. I will provide reasons and whys behind each part of my routine, but this is an important point. Every aspect of your routine should be intentional. Intention equals what you are stretching towards. The more reasons or whys you can stack behind your actions, the easier it becomes and the more beneficial it is to a great future. You discover these reasons or whys by having a goal to apply your self-education to. If I want to commit to a gym habit, self-education around habit formation and the gym will give me the reasoning necessary to do so, if and only if I am building in reality. Please note that my routine may not be feasible for you. I'm not presenting this as just a piece of the puzzle to plug into your day. Please also note that this is the result of 10 plus years of experimentation to find what I personally deemed enjoyable and conducive to the ideal future that I want to create. I encourage you to take bits and pieces of my routine as inspiration for your own so that you can test and experiment with something that may not have crossed your mind earlier. So the first thing that I do is I take a 30-minute morning walk. First thing in the morning, around 6 a.m., I get outside no matter the weather or how I feel. I will either listen to a podcast or educational material or just plan out my day on my phone. I aim for around 15 to 20,000 steps a day just because of the stacked benefits that it brings my life. Walking is one of those activities that requires minimal effort but brings maximal results. Walking clears my mind, wakes me up, gets me away from distractions, acts as a creativity block in my day, keeps me lean, keeps me healthy, keeps me slightly tan, and reverses most of the damage done by sitting under life-sucking blue light. Note that I'm experimenting with different blocks of my morning right now. The past few days, I tried meditating and reading in the morning, like 15 minutes of each. Today, I just got straight into work. And so I'm just testing things right now, as I always do. I don't let my routine get stagnant because there's always a way to improve. And if I don't experiment, then I eventually get trapped in the known until I realize that I have to change my routine because everything in life must evolve. So the second thing that I do is 90 minutes of focused work. I have a list of recurring tasks and levers that I execute every morning. This is when I write things like books, newsletters, content, and marketing material. I stack all of my priority tasks in this work block so I can complete them before most people wake up. This allows me to gradually introduce entropy into my day as work becomes less structured. So, a soft plug is that I teach how to become a digital writer in my course, 2-Hour Writer. This is the first 90 minutes of my morning, and the 30 minutes before on a walk is idea generation and writing for literally everything that has, like, everything good that has come in my life. Like this YouTube video is a written script. So step three is that I go on another 30 minute walk or I run. So I've been running 3 times a week for about 30 minutes. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And this is just to hit the general recommendation of like 150 minutes of zone 2 cardio a week. I do this 3 times a week for 30 minutes. So that's not 150 minutes, but I trust that my 15 to 20,000 steps will cover the rest of that zone 2 cardio. So on the days that I don't run, because it's hard for me to focus and write things down on a run, obviously, so I'll walk. And this is when I listen to more podcasts, audiobooks, just educational material, YouTube videos that I really like. And I collect ideas in my phone using Cortex. Cortex isn't out yet, but I get to use it. And I've been using this system for a long time now for capturing ideas that actually have a use case, which is writing or creating. Step four is, again, another 90 minute focus work block. So after my run or walk, I shower, eat breakfast, and I sit back down to work. During this block, I do less creative tasks. This is when I help with like administrative work or client work or introducing myself to more people, like responding to clients or people that I'm working with. And this is when open loops and distractions really start to take over. So this is why I have it later in my mornings, because at the very start of my morning, I want to make sure I get everything I have to for the day done, so that I don't have to worry about it. The stuff that isn't really necessary, like me responding to people, which is kind of necessary, but it's not as lever moving as writing content every single morning. So open loops and distractions happen here, but that can just be mitigated by another walk. And I've broken down my deep work routine before. I forget what the video is called, but it's one of my most popular videos. So if you go to my popular videos, it's like the third or fourth one. So step five is I take calls or I go on another walk. If you've been following me for a while, this is a new block because I've gone over my routine before, obviously. But I used to despise calls and I removed them completely from my day. I stopped client work. I stopped all calls. But with Cortex, the software that I'm building, this isn't possible anymore. And I had to accept that, even though it threatened my identity. We were talking about mental survival. I adopted a person that doesn't take calls as my identity. And it was actually it had a lot of friction for me to like start to incorporate that consistently into my days. And the thing here is, when I zoom out, I want Cortex to succeed more than I don't want to take calls. Therefore, I want to take calls. So these calls, as we're building Cortex the software, we're already monetizing. We're already on track for the revenue numbers that I mentioned in a previous video. I won't break those down now, but I'll break them down in a future video about how we built Cortex to $X million before the software even released. So with that, we're taking on consulting clients for Cortex. That's how we're monetizing. So if you actually want to be a client of ours and work with us directly to learn writing, speaking, marketing, sales, brand, content, product, promotions with our systems in either group setting or one-on-one, there's a link to apply to work with us below. So most days now I work 4 to 5 hours. And even with my excessive workload, I'm still close to that 4-hour workday philosophy that I always talk about. Now, of course, my work goes over this occasionally because I have a lot more on my plate and it's a lot more unpredictable because I'm also launching a book, recording the audiobook for the next 3 days tomorrow. I'm going to be working more than 4 hours those days alone. So it's all variable, but I'm talking baseline, like what I'm continuously working back to and using that philosophy as a way to identify problems, like working over 4 hours, in order to create systems and solutions that allow me to do what I do better in that time block. So these calls include things like client calls or internal company calls or design calls or development calls or product build calls and our progress on that. And if I don't have to be at my desk, then I'll take these calls on a walk. And if I don't have any calls for the day, then I just go on a walk. So step six is that I go to the gym. By now it's around 1 to 2 p.m. and this is the turning point where my day goes from work to rest. I know that I won't be able to operate my best after the gym, so I treat this as a work cutoff time. Now, for the past, I'd say 6 months, I trained every day, and since workload is piling up, I might switch back to 3 days a week. I'm going to experiment with that this week, but I used to train every day. And please, I don't need your training ideology. Don't tell me about it. I've studied all of them. I like training every day. So step number 7 after the gym is just having a long conversational lunch with my editor so that we can catch up and kind of just socialize and talk about things that aren't business. Just have a good laugh together, have a good lunch, because myself and him and my friends keep their social circle extremely small. I used to have a lot of contacts before, and it just doesn't make sense anymore because that seemed to always subtract from my life rather than add to it. So it's not that I'm not open to adding new people to my life. It's that I've just reached a place where I have to be very careful with who I let into my life. Step number 8 is that I take a nap, or I go on another walk, or I finish busy work. So it's about like 3 to 4 o'clock now, and things are starting to get boring here, so I'll spare you that. But this is the part of my day where it's dedicated to psychological recovery. So I'll either do like very easy busy work that helps me catch up, or I'll just take a nap, or I'll recover my mind. Because like in the gym, you have to take rest. Like with work, you also have to take rest. So step number 9, the last step is that I'll either go to dinner with a friend, or I'll stay in and spend time with my girlfriend. I love nice dinners. Like that's one of the bad habits of mine, even though I don't think it's a bad habit. Like that's really the only thing that I spend a lot of my money on, is just good food, good experiences, good dinners. And when I eat out, like when you eat at a nice place, it's kind of hard to eat like crap. Like it's hard to be unhealthy because most of the meals there are, they have protein, like steak or fish, and then they have like potatoes. It's just a nicer way of preparing the dinner that I would have prepared for myself. And so most nights I'll go out to dinner, or I'll just stay in and watch Netflix with my girlfriend. And that's really my entire day. Now, obviously, there's other events in life, like me recording the audiobook tomorrow for The Art of Focus, or going up to spend some time in the mountains, or traveling somewhere, or just like doing other things, right? But I'm talking about the baseline routine that I fall back to every day. So I truly hope that helped. Maybe it gave you some inspiration. If it did, like and comment. And if you want to check out my courses like 2-Hour Writer or Digital Economics, you can check those out with the links in the description. There's other free stuff down there as well. And if you want to grab my book, The Art of Focus, click the first link in the description and you can grab that. Until next time, thank you for watching. Peace.